All right. Very good. Excellent. Let's see if it works this time around. Hopefully it will. I'll bet it will. I'm actually giving it a lot of credit for what credit is due. But there you go. So what else, what were we talking about before I so rudely interrupted you guys?
I don't remember, but if you hum a few bars, you might figure it out.
And I love
You
it. And
could
that's the
tell
name of
they
the
work
show.
together.
Oh yeah, we're a good team, actually. We're a good team, you know. It's a great relationship. I'm very happy, you know, that Tina is with us, you know. Anyway, hey, welcome. This is our 200th show, and I call it a Zoom cast, because that's really what it is. And we got some really interesting people that come every week. We never know who's going to show up. You know, it's not like Mr. Rogers' room. You know, this is not like A-rated. This is more like you know, X-rated, but not triple X-rated, which we were talking about earlier. By the way, speaking of triple X, and just remember this: everything you hear today is opinion. Could you believe what's going on? Is that this what Pornhub is no longer streaming to Texas because of the new law? Because of the way they want the way they set up the identity, they want you to send in your ID so the
And
government could know who's watching porn.
they want better age verification than a little dialog box that pops up and says, "Are you 18?" To which you can answer yes or no. And the outcome is pretty widely known. When you click yes, you will be taken to the website. And if you click no, you won't. So, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I had to figure out, you know, when I was younger, you know, I had to do the math, and I'm not good with math, you know, but I figured out, you know, when I was a kid, I wanted to get Playboy, and I figured my name, Jan Landy, they would just think I'm too young. So I came up with a name, and I still remember the name that I came up with, Radwill Clark the Third. And
Oh.
I got a subscription for Playboy under the name Radwill Clark the Third. I probably owe the money right now. Oh, I hope they're not listening. I hope we're past the statute of limitations. And I figured, hey,
Marvelous,
Radwill
Jim.
Clark the Third,
Marvelous,
that
Jim.
sounds like somebody who's old. That's an old man's name, you know.
Oh, it sounds very English, John. Very English.
I tell you what,
Like
that
Thurston Howell on
Thurston Howell the
yeah, Thurston Howell the Third. I wonder if I was,
Third.
I wonder if they stole that from me or I stole that from them. I don't know. I
I
don't
tell you
remember
what,
how old I was
for
at
the
the time.
people at Pornhub, that's got to be a real challenge for them to comply to, you know, because if anybody has ever done, you know, like where's my IP? You know, sometimes they put me in Miami, and I'm 500 miles away from Miami.
Yeah,
Don't you
it's
use a
well,
VPN?
that's because somebody recorded the geo location of the IP incorrectly, but
Right.
they know. But it's so easy to get a
Get
proxy
around that, yeah.
that I mean, even people in China, as you know, Jan, are you know, getting around the government proxies, the firewalls, by using proxies. Very
Oh
simple.
yeah. The
Yeah.
VPNs right now. I have a being out of the country, use a VPN, use a company called Surfshark. I've recommended to a lot of friends. And I got a dedicated IP address, which means that I'm the only one using that IP address. So no one can tell that it is a VPN because it appears to be my own
That would
IP.
be an argument
But somehow
against
YouTube TV has figured it out.
Yeah,
Yeah.
you don't want your own
An
IP
argument
address.
against what?
You don't want your own IP address under any circumstances. I mean, if
No.
you're trying to anonymize yourself on the internet, because
No, no.
as sure
Chris,
as the sun will rise
he's got his
tomorrow.
own IP address on his side, inside the VPN. That's
Oh,
what it
your own private IP.
is. Yes.
Ah, sorry. Yeah, I was going to say, man, if you've got your own private public IP address, well, that's hardly private.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not doing anything that I care about. You know, I'm not doing anything illegal or immoral or anything like that. But I find that when you log into sites in the United States, it's much better this way because they don't say, "Oh, you're using a VPN. We know it. You have to prove that it's really you."
Well, the other thing that's nice about that, Dan, too, is your phones. Yeah, because you move phones around, right, in your phone system.
What about
your business phone system? Doesn't it ring there for you?
Oh yeah, we're using Zoom phone, which I have to say, in the beginning, was a challenge. Now they've made so many improvements to it, Zoom phone is amazing, right, Tina?
Yes, it is.
Okay, good. Thank you. Oh, there you are. All right. Yeah. Yeah, Zoom phone's more than amazing. I mean, the thing that I like a lot about it, not only is it really effective and consistent and a great connection. However, the other thing that I like is the features behind the scenes, like Tina and I have an intercom together. It's called Team Chat, and that we were able to put notes to each other, and it's much more effective than I found than Slack, much better than Slack. It's instantaneous, and it's really good. I mean, and you create folders, and we stay in touch with one another all the time using the Zoom chat. It's really good, really good.
Talking, is that a texting thing or a verbal thing?
It's a texting thing.
Yeah, I think it's an IRC client backend for VoIP, right? So they give you voice and then they give you an IRC client and you can basically text back and forth.
So Jan, do you ever find that the VPN is why your internet connection is not so great? I use the same VPN, Surfshark, and once in a while noticed that, well, first of all, a lot of sites or many sites, let's say, require me to authenticate before I open up their page, which is kind of a pain. And then second of all, sometimes it just doesn't load some pages.
Well, that's why I'm telling you, that's why I switched to the dedicated for an extra $10. I think it's $10 a year. I'm not 100% sure. It might be $10 a month. It might be $5 a month. I don't remember the exact, but the dedicated IP, I don't have that problem at all. Zero. It's great.
Does that sound right, Chris?
Hard for me to judge because I don't quite understand exactly what they're doing, but VPNs in general, obviously they're encrypted, so there's latency. Depends what kind of traffic you're running over it. So they used to say that you can't run voice SIP over VPNs, and I have successfully installed OpenVPN on an iPhone and then put a SIP client on the iPhone, and the SIP client goes through the VPN on the phone and then goes to the other endpoint. Works beautifully. The whole issue is that voice just simply doesn't take very much bandwidth compared to other things that we use today in the internet, right? I mean, a full SIP conversation without a fancy codec in it is probably running at about 80K with all the headers and everything in it. So that I mean, 80K in today's world is pretty small.
SIP's concerned about jitter.
Exactly. Yeah. And jitter is highly correlated to the accuracy of the real-time clock on the device endpoint. So even Asterisk, a SIP server, they were saying couldn't be virtualized because it wouldn't have native access to the real-time clock of the hosting hardware. But I've never had any problems with jitter. The only time that you can get some jitter and echo issues is if you're using an FXO card, which is basically connects your VoIP server to the plain old telephone network.
Yeah. So, yeah. Yeah. Those days are gone.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, but you know, but the thing is using a VPN is a good thing, and it does protect you from prying eyes, and you know, it's a time. It's a tunnel into another service, which prevents you from being identified on your own. You know,
so it's right. you're getting information it directly. Stolen,
especially in public.
Yes. So I was just
but
wondering
you know what's if, happening.
I was wondering if that's what's causing your instability there, Jan.
Well, no, I took off my. I'm not using a VPN right now. I don't need to with Zoom.
There you
don't
go.
Need to use a VPN. So I'm not using. Great. The problem is that the internet connection for Hardwire is too far away from me, and so I'm using a Wi-Fi 6 plugged in directly to fiber cable, but it's I don't know what it is. It could be where I'm located, anything, a million things, you know. People, the Russian government could be spying on me for all I know. Who knows?
So I see a staircase behind you. Are you in a newer place? I don't remember seeing a second story where you were before.
Well, we're in a house in a city called Hua Hin. While we're looking for a place to live, we're actually, so this is an Airbnb that we're staying in. Really, you know, it's just doable. It's barely, this guy's a super host, nice guy. As or girl, I don't know, but the reality is that for the $45 a day I'm paying, it's well worth it. You know, if I paid $46, it wouldn't be worth it. That's all I can.
Yeah, no, that's but, just an outrageous. I don't even think you could buy.
Hey, we got Andrew in the room, and Andrew hasn't said two words yet. So Andrew, say something. You know.
Well, so I'll take you back to where you started with Pornhub, with a little bit of fun around that. Yeah, they're definitely challenged with things like what's going on in Texas. They've also been challenged by a lot of the credit card services and various banks saying they don't want to deal with them anymore. But where I wink at Pornhub is their head office is here in Montreal. It's actually near our office. And we actually recently supplied them, get this, with a video wall for their head office lobby. And I won't even ask you to speculate as to what the content is.
Well, you just said it all by the head office. I got it. Head office. I understand. You know,
it's a money factory. It's a money factory. And for every kind of restriction people try to put out, the customer finds a way around it.
Yeah. Oh, there's always, whenever there's a cat, there's always two ways to skin it. Not that I believe in skinning cats, but, it could be goats or rats or whatever. But I don't want PETA to be here and come down on me and saying, hey, just remember everything here that is opinion. Do your own research. But you know what? The interesting thing is about information is that I've read now that insurance rates are going up for everybody in the United States. I don't know what it's like in Canada, but, and what's happening is, like, for example, there's an article in the New York Times right now in March, just recently, that General Motors has been sending driver data to the insurance companies through its connected OnStar service. And a lot of companies are doing this right now.
Any electric
so they're
car.
Knowing if you're speeding.
Well, that's going to be the next business. Entrance for Tesla will be in the car insurance realm, right? Because they know exactly how you drive your vehicle. They've collected years worth of data on your driving habits.
I don't know if you guys have it in the States, but up here, a couple of the major insurers encourage you to put an app on your iPhone. And if the iPhone's in the car with you, then that app is tracking your speeding, your abruptness, your braking, all that stuff. Reporting back to the insurance company, and the way they put it to you is they go, use this app and we'll give you a discount if you're a good guy. Well, I don't know. And the other thing to remember is any car that's been made in the last probably 10 years anyway, when you get in an accident, if they want to, the car recorded a whole bunch of what happened just before the accident anyway.
That's correct.
This is the world we live in, right? I mean, whether you like it or not, this is the world we live in. We're being watched from 10 different angles all the time.
Couldn't agree with you more, Andrew.
What's the plug in all the new cars that when they do a smog check, they plug into? It's called
OBD2.
OBD2, right? And Tina was telling me that what company was it? Was it Progressive, Tina?
Yes, it was Progressive.
Right. And what did you tell me? You remember?
They would give you a discount if you agreed to have that plugged into your car while you were driving.
Oh, you mean plug a dongle into it to report to them, you mean?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And yeah, they've got a plug in your vehicle that's underneath the dash that you can put all sorts of different stuff in it, but you can stick this dongle in there and it reports your GPS position, your speed, all of it.
Yeah.
And then obviously the sample rate is the key factor there, right? How often is it looking at what you're doing? But yeah, it's Big Brother is omnipresent.
I mean, I'm driving now an electric. I just switched to an electric car a couple of months ago, and you know, this thing all by itself decides to upgrade its firmware in the middle of the night. You know, I get in the car in the morning, and the interface is a little different than it was the night before. Things like that, and I get a notice every once in a while, where it's asking me to confirm that I'm aware that it's transmitting data, or asking me if I'm willing to let it share certain data. But that's only what I see. What's going on in the background is what's going on in the background. And we have no real control over that.
Yeah, no, a wild rumor that
just
wild
remember, do
rumor,
your own research. That's it.
Wild rumor. There it is four times that Elena Chao's sister, Tesla, was hacked and the car backed her up into the lake, not her.
And she's not
well,
around.
Well, the truth
degree,
be,
so.
Yeah, the truth be told rumor. Is that they're hacking into all sorts of things. I hear that the Chinese, I just read an article, the Chinese or the Russians are hacking into our water systems,
absolutely.
You know, the major water systems.
That this is the whole thing with Huawei, which is, you know, you're in Hualin, right? So anyway, Huawei, the Chinese internet, you know, switch and router provider and all that kind of stuff, and they make telecoms systems. And I think it was either Trump or Bush, or you know, during one of these presidencies, they actually outlawed.
Yeah, it was Trump. Yeah.
It was under Trump. Yeah, I can't remember. No, I know it was
under Trump.
A while
and,
back.
Yeah.
And other countries have followed along.
Yeah.
And they've basically said, we're not going to use any hardware from this supplier and any critical infrastructure.
Yeah,
but,
because
the
Huawei stuff is you're just deploying, you know, you're just deploying spyware, period. That there was a guy that took a Huawei board from a router and they mapped it all out and they found, and you can go, I think it's on Wired. There's like a 10-page article on this, that they found some little itty bitty IC on a Huawei board that wasn't in the Shima, and no one knew what this thing was. And of course it turned out to be, you know, not a good chip on your board.
You sure it wasn't a TikTok? Because it could have been a TikTok.
It could have been. It very well could have been a TikTok chip. Absolutely.
Speaking of that sort of thing, are you guys familiar with this, I don't know what we would call them, a retail establishment called, I think it's pronounced Temu, maybe?
Yes.
Saw those ads on the Super Bowl.
Yeah, Chinese.
And so look, there's David Dansky. Are you from a ship, David? Are you on a ship?
Hello from the high seas.
I was going to say,
for real?
Like
for real?
You're in Hawaii, buddy. Look at the tan and the shirt. I mean, the whole thing. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. We had our second show today and we get off the ship tomorrow. This is an unbelievable cruise. The music is just off the charts on this screen.
Yeah, if you're not reading David's Facebook post, you're missing a lot. But the reality is he's on a rock and roll cruise. Dave, tell us a little bit about it.
So it's called 70s Romantic Rock Cruise. And it's got the original bands, and it's got tribute bands. It's got 15, 20 shows a day in various places around the ship. And they had Journey on here. They had War, Gino Vannelli, Ambrosia. Randy Bachman, Firefall, Orleans. Just amazing. And the musicianship on this ship is unbelievable.
How many passengers?
2,000. 2,000 passengers.
What cruise company runs this ship?
Well, it's a company called Vista something or other that charters the ships. This is a celebrity ship, but they do Holland America. They do all that stuff. And as a matter of fact, they do so many different cruises that at the end of this one, there's a Flower Power cruise, which is 60s music. This was 70s. It's going to 60s. So they got the Rascals on and, I don't know, a whole bunch of people.
So, you've been on a lot of cruises. For you to say that this is great is really saying something, right?
You go on a cruise and there's a headline entertainer on Tuesday and another headline entertainer on Thursday, and that's it. You get on this ship, and it's what rock concert do you want to go to at 9 o'clock? What time do you want to go at 11 o'clock, 4 o'clock? I mean, they're all over the place. And everybody plays at least two times. Hotel California was on yesterday at noon and today at 2 o'clock out by the pool. And the pool has got hundreds and hundreds of seats, plus standing room. And they got a VDOS PA. They got a profile console. They got real rock crews who have to change, you know, sets between the acts, like, quickly. And I've never been on a ship with this much music. It's wonderful. I mean, I can't.
How about that, huh? Out.
And do you have kind of an idea if you're taking the cruise, what would be your total spend per person if you wanted to go on it?
Well, you figure a 1 week cruise in general is like $2,000 a person, and you put two people in a cabin, right? This is closer to $4,000. It's more expensive, but somebody's got to pay for all this entertainment. There's 500 entertainers on this ship.
Yeah,
it's great.
And so is Dan casting there with you?
Yeah, Dan was mixing the in-ear monitors for the band.
So, how about that, huh? That's amazing.
Oh, it's been great. And even
when there's so many bands like that, Dave, I got a question for you. When there's so many bands like that, what are the bands carrying with them? Just their in-ears, or what are they carrying?
We are one of the only bands that had in-ears. And we didn't carry them. We just requested them. Most of them have monitors. Regular, these guys are doing like a festival. It's festival, consoles are laid out with like festivals, you know, 10 drum, 12 drum mics and two different bass inputs and, you know, lots and lots of stuff for vocals. And
and the musicians are bringing their own gear, or are they just sharing gear?
They can only bring so much. So there are some guitars that are brought over, but there's rental guitars here, every kind you can imagine. I mean, we had a banjo and a mandolin here rented. So it's a real operation. It's a really big operation. I'll be posting photos. I mean, I don't have any right now.
What cruise line, Dave, is it? What cruise line is this?
This is Celebrity, but like I said, it doesn't matter. The next one is on Celebrity because it's back to back. You know, these people get off, new people. Some people stay. New people get on. New acts get on, and it's just like what we did. Some acts do the first half of the week. And some acts do the second half of the week. We got on in the middle of the week in Aruba,
yeah.
Left from Miami.
Now, what's the name of the ship?
What's the name of the ship? The Summit.
Yeah, the Summit. Yeah. Now, how does that compare to the Icon of the Seas?
Well, it's a third the size. Icon of the Seas is 8,000 people. This is 2,500. Let's start with that. So you can't really compare it. But even the regular size... Royal Caribbean. It's a standard ship. It's like 1,000 feet long.
And are you in a stateroom now, or are you in a hotel somewhere?
Yeah, this is my stateroom. I'm heading up to the show in a little bit to see. Here's these acts you never heard of. Like, I never heard of the act called Generation Radio. You can look it up. They exist. But all Americans, it's one of the best shows on the ship.
So how about Peter Asher? Did you meet Peter Asher?
No, they said they scheduled him the same time as Hotel California. I got really upset about that because people are coming telling me the stories, you know, that Paul McCartney was dating his sister and they lived together in the house. And
he tells a lot of great stories on Beatles Sirius XM radio, and to see him in person would be friggin' amazing.
I would have loved to have done it, but it didn't work out. I'm going to have to miss him. Maybe see him the next time.
Now, are you in court? Or you at? No. Are you on the seas?
We're on the high seas. We're between Cuba and Florida.
Right. And how are you? How is this internet working? How is the internet working? I don't get that.
Starlink, baby.
Starlink. Yeah, they got a gimbal.
Another Elon Musk product, huh?
All the cruise ships are moving over to Starlink because it's reliable and it's fast.
And it's cheaper.
How about that? So if you did a speed test on your computer or whatever, how would your speed show up as?
I'll tell you right now.
Oh, these things are not bad. I mean, they have gimbaled antennas and on for boats and the internet. There's latency because it's got to go up and down, but it's the speeds are very respectable.
I wonder what does it cost you, because one of the most expensive things on a cruise ship was the cost of the internet. How are they treating you on money, David?
Yeah, I had to pay $115 for 4 days.
Now we're talking $115 for 4 days for internet.
The speed is not very fast here, but it seems to be working fine.
Your video looks fine. Yeah.
Yeah, it's better than when you're in Hollywood.
Well, no shit.
Maybe you should switch the Starlink at the house. I don't know. You know.
So let's see.
$115 for 4 days. Yeah. What's this? Oh, this is your,
that's schedule? The program. Wow, look at the program. Holy smokes.
All right, so here's the morning. This is the morning. Let me see if I can get this aimed right. Here we go. So 9 a.m., 9 a.m., 10 a.m., 11. That's Peter Asher, who we missed. Then 1 o'clock is David Bowie. And I'm a 2 o'clock. So from 1 to 2, we're setting up. And 2 to 3, we're doing a show. And then Doobie Others. They were great. The Doobie Others. What a great name, too. And plus, we get to meet all these guys. And they're really...
I thought David Bowie was dead. Did I misunderstand that?
That's what tributes are for. Randy Bachman put on an amazing show. Firefall is on right now. Then we're going to see Generation Radio.
Jesus, look at this. It's amazing.
Every day is like that. It's unbelievable. I've never been on a ship with this much great music.
How many days was the trip for the passengers?
It's a 7-day cruise. So they leave Miami, then it's 2 days at sea, and then they hit Aruba. And that's when they get rid of the old musicians who've already performed and put the new ones on. And so we're all in a hotel together in Aruba, you know, meeting people and who are you with and that stuff. And then the next day is Curacao. And then there's 2 more days at sea, which are the 2 days Hotel California performed. And then at port. So we're in port tomorrow.
And is this the first time that Hotel California did this cruise?
No, they've done it a few times. They try not to do it. They try not to book it every year because people want something different. But Hotel California has done it 3 or 4 times over the years.
And so George likes it. It's good for George, too.
Yeah, it's good for George. And his wife was supposed to come. She got sick at the last minute. She couldn't make it. But, you know, a lot of the guys have their significant others with them. And Myrna's having an amazing time. She thinks it's the best thing since sliced bread.
How about that?
Ah, Myrna. There, huh?
This gig turned out to be a pretty great gig for you, again, huh, David?
Yeah, Kenny, thank you very much.
so funny. I think it's perfect for you. It's just you fit into this gig so perfectly. It's amazing, you know?
Yeah, I feel like a glove, right.
What's the name of the cruise again, Dave? What's the name of the cruise?
It's called 70s Romantic Rock Cruise. You can Google it because they have one next year, but they also have country and a jukebox and flower power. This company does about 9-10 cruises a year, all with
theater. And wasn't somebody else that you knew was doing an 80s cruise? Oh, it was Lucas Carubia was doing an 80s cruise with Debbie Gibson at around the same time. So there must be lots of these cruises.
There are.
And they're so out.
Just got off a metal one. He was out by Ace Frehley. Ace Frehley played a cruise. You know, and it was 4 days at sea, and he got off at Aruba, and they flew him home. So it was Miami to Aruba and home.
Right.
Yeah, that's how they do it. That's how they do it.
Exactly the same thing. Now, next time they do this, they go to other places. The next cruise, the Flower Power Cruise, goes to Mexico because the people don't want to go to the same. There are back-to-backers. So, you know, people are doing both cruises, so they don't want to take.
No kidding. Wow. People have some money, huh?
Yeah. There are people on. So
a lot of shows going on.
I'm going to tell you a funny story. There's a Southern music.
Okay.
Country, no, it's country. There's a country music cruise. And I was talking to a guy who's on a back-to-back here, and he does all these other cruises. He sees Hotel California in Florida at the Orange Blossom Opry a bunch of times. I mean, he's knows everybody. So he's telling me the story that the country cruise left the port, and 2 days later, it had to make an emergency stop because they ran out of beer. They ran out of beer in 2 days on the country and western cruise. I mean,
that's fantastic.
What it cost to dock a cruise ship in some port it wasn't supposed to be docked in, have a crew, pay a crew, the pilot, the whole thing, and put more beer on the ship. That's
what you hear that, Ken Porter? That's the Nashville way of going there. They ran out of beer.
Wow, that's fantastic.
Well, that's a good story.
The cruise you're missing is a Southern Gospel Bill Gaither homecoming cruise. That's the one you're missing.
I'll pass. But I can say that, you know, being at Hotel California, probably won't be doing this next year. I'm going to try and figure out a way to get on this on a cruise like this. Because this is really...
I know you can buy tickets for $2,000 a pop. You know, there you go.
So David, all the bands have their own like sound people and stuff, or do a lot of them rely on the house crew?
There's a guy, his name is Greg, and he's the house guy, and he works for a company whose name I can't remember, but they produce cruises. They hire the sound and the lights, they hire the freelance engineers, and they put it on. And this guy does one cruise after another for like September to March or April during the cruise season. And then he does corporate stuff the other time. But that's
because traditionally cruise pay for cruise sound people and stuff is pretty low.
Well, they're not working for the cruise. This is a charter.
Right, I get it. So you think they're well taken care of?
Premium prices. Every theater has got a custom sound system. Even if there's one built in, they don't use it. It's all, you know, VDOSK stuff.
I mean, like they rent it from some sound company just for this cruise?
This company that produces it subcontracts out the audio.
Yep.
Load it on the ship. That's a lot of money. Wow.
This is an amazing operation. I mean,
wow.
Let's see if I can show you a
picture. I'm not good with math, but times that's a lot of money.
The only issue
it's a lot. Yes, it's a lot.
A lot of those.
Oh, that's revolutionary.
A lot of those put things on.
This, I don't know if you can see this. This is the ship. There's the stage that we performed on. They fill a pool with chairs so people can sit. And the PA is there. There's
wow,
the
beautiful.
There's the VDOS stack right there. That little stack has got like six cabinets, carriers, and two subs. Then in the theater.
Okay.
Let's see what else I can
So it's say. All rental, like as if this was a tour, like, or whatever, you know, they rent it from a sound company and then equip the boat with sound systems and people to run these. Well, it's like a festival with a lot of stages is what it sounds like.
Corporate. Yeah, exactly. There's the, let's see if I can get this to work because the color.
Wow. Yeah, there you go.
And that's Randy Bachman. I got to go back to the PA. No, I have to find a still picture.
David, was that Unreal Sound out of Miami doing it?
Was it what?
Was it Unreal Sound?
Do you know the name of the sound company, David?
No, I don't, because these guys subcontracted out. But there's the PA in the theater, right there on the
ground stacked. Yeah, yeah,
yeah, yeah. And the theater has a built-in sound system, but they brought in the consoles. They had a CL5, and they had the profile, and you get to pick whichever one you wanted to work. It's unbelievable. I really got to say
that's a whole like a whole subculture of it's not cruises. It's a festival on the water, basically.
It's exactly what it is. It's a festival.
I mean, imagine, but I mean, I can't imagine how they load in and set up and all that stuff in a cruise ship.
I know, and you have to set up quickly too, because the, you know, the old cruise ends and you, the ship docks at 6 a.m. and takes off at 4 or 5. You got to be ready to do a show in 6 hours.
Oh my God, that's crazy.
Ships have PA systems built into the showroom that are extraordinary.
They're not using it.
But that's what David's saying is they're not using it for this particular cruise, you know?
Well, in the showroom they are.
No, they aren't. I just showed you the ground stack for the showroom.
Oh, so they added that to the ground stack.
Yeah, that's the PA.
They added that to the showroom.
They don't use the house PAs at all. It's all
wow,
hardcore, loud, subwoofer mixes. And okay.
Ken Porter wanted to say something, so let's let him get a moment in here. Let's let him talk.
When I've done all this cruise ship stuff, it's like you have 2 hours to get through customs and get everybody on the ship in the same way off the ship. A lot of times, the issue is really hard on faders and consoles, particularly if you got outdoor things that are sitting there on the open deck and stuff up there. It is kind of a hard thing to do, you know, like that. But there is I have a lot of country cruises and a lot of other stuff cruises that go down there. But there are several companies out of Miami that specialize in doing those pickup cruises and stuff there because it's easy to get on and off for them.
I think the company there's a production company that then hires sound and lighting, and the production company's out of Atlanta. That much I know. Where they hire the sound system from, this guy works for that production company. And it's Something Cruises. The name of the company is Something Cruises, you know, like All American Cruises or something. And that's what they do.
And the technical people that you've been dealing with are good people, or are they cruise-level people?
No, this guy he's mixing most of the shows, so he knows what he's doing. I do have to say that in one of the lounges, they have a horrible sound engineer. The Creedence tribute band was too loud. I had to leave. And the Bee Gees Gold, which was so good, had way too much keyboards and not enough guitar, bass, and drums. But the voices were perfect. So we
keyboard player must have taken care of the mixer or something. Or he couldn't hear very well or something.
No, it was really too bad. So, but the guy I was working with, he was at the pool. There's the theater is the big one. Then there's the pool. And then there's a couple of other ones, two or three more.
Sounds amazing. Sounds like a whole culture, a whole counter, you know, underworld of cruise sound.
You know, they say, remember, there's regular passengers. I'm talking about all the musicians that I'm meeting and all the professionals. But there's 2,000 people here to have a good time. And like one night is hippie night. And they're all wearing flowers and fringes. And, you know, they're really into it. It's funny. And we have a special area in the dining room. So it's all
for, of us
meeting together in the dining, in the special part of the dining room.
So what do you think? You think you'll ever see like a Barry Manilow on that kind of cruise?
Let me tell you, Kenny, if he ever does it, you'll have a great time. Even you hate water.
I just mean like, wow, the production values, you know, the production levels of stuff. Because, you know, after all, when he starts his show, he says, who here likes music from the 70s? And everybody goes crazy. And he goes, yeah, because that's all where my music is from.
Yeah, but the thing is, they probably couldn't afford Barry Manilow. You know, it would,
maybe, that
would
you might be surprised.
Ticket prices.
You know, the promoter.
A Barry tribute act instead of Barry.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, they have everybody else. David Bowie, we had Stevie Nicks, you know, all these tribute acts are on. But the thing is that.
I just heard Stevie Nicks is playing at Yamava. I just heard it on the radio today.
Is that the one in Vegas?
I think she's also playing. I was about to say, hey, everyone you mentioned is dead, but then Stevie Nicks is not dead yet. You know, that it was the tribute.
There are some that aren't dead yet. Let's see.
That's a Stevie Nicks tribute person?
Yeah.
Looks wise, it's great.
She sounded like it too.
It's amazing.
Well, otherwise, it wouldn't be a Stevie Nicks tribute band if she didn't sound like her. You know, it would be, be another type like band.
There was no doubt. You know, yeah, go ahead.
Just to change a little bit, you know, talking about shows, they're going to be doing a tribute concert to Jimmy Buffett. Did you hear about that?
Hollywood Bowl, I mean, right?
The Hollywood Bowl thing? What? Yeah, unbelievable how many people are going to be on that show.
Is that for real? That's for real then. Okay. Oh, I thought real, maybe it was
you know how much the tickets are? They start at $700 and go up to $4,000. Yeah, so I'm waiting for the the video.
Yeah, that's
Paul McCartney. It's got a whole bunch of great big name artists, right?
Where is that happening?
Paul McCartney, among others.
Hollywood Bowl.
Oh, at the Hollywood Bowl. Okay.
Yes, the beach.
Oh, it's at the Hollywood Bowl.
I think it's at the Hollywood Bowl, isn't it, Jay?
Yeah, it's at the Hollywood Bowl. Yes.
L Acoustics.
Well, that's going to be one hell of a show. Want to go see. I mean, you know, people want to get into that one. You know,
that's the Bee Gees.
We get it.
Wow. Who's that? The Bee Gees?
Yeah, it's the Bee Gees.
Got audio?
Yeah. And
you want audio?
Let's see what they sound like.
No. Don't play any audio. Please don't. Please don't.
You're right. No audio.
All right.
Are we in trouble?
Yeah.
Well, you can't. I mean, if we violate YouTube realities or whatever the regulations are, I'm not sure. I mean, that's not pre-recorded, so it's possible there's no DRM in it, so they couldn't find it. But why take the chance?
No, I'm sure they're not going to come for you, Jan. Yeah. They're going to come straight for Ken. So, yeah.
That's right, Ken.
He's
who,
the guy.
Who requested this audio?
Ken's the fall guy. He's going down.
But the other thing, hey, did you hear that Neil Young decided to go back on Spotify?
He's back. What'd you say? Neil Young's back on Spotify?
Neil Young decided, you know, because he went off of it because they had Joe Rogan, and now Joe Rogan is everywhere. So Neil Young says, I can't go off of everywhere. So you get to see where his ethics were good. But his dollar and bottom dollar is that if Joe Rogan is here and he doesn't believe it, but it's everywhere, then he's got to be everywhere too. So he's back on Spotify.
Wasn't it Neil that did the Pono player? Was that Neil?
That's Neil Young. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, yeah. The failed Pono player.
Yeah, that's
player.
Right. Because he wanted a higher quality.
Well,
high quality audio.
It was playing FLAC files.
He wanted to stream at 96K.
It was a triangular device, so you couldn't
the form factor was what killed that, if you ask me, and not to mention the price.
Oh, how much
it
was
still
it?
Is it's so expensive?
It wasn't cheap.
How many people in this room are using Tidal? Because Tidal is streaming in high def, and it's just too expensive.
I just digitized. I have a massive, massive music collection, and I just basically over the years have digitized all of my music to FLAC files.
But you're talking CDs? Is that the origin of your music files?
Yeah, yeah. I bought CDs even before I could afford the player, just because I wanted to have them. So
what good is FLAC relative to CD audio? Because it's going to be 16-bit 44.1 no matter what, right?
Precisely. There's a guy that's got a YouTube discussion up, very interesting, where he goes into what the human capacity of hearing is, 16-bit 44.1, and he goes through the whole thing and shows how, you know, you can take the Rolling Stones and you can put it in the biggest container that you want, you know, 196K, it's not going to change the audio. But I just ripped the other problem that I'm actually facing with some of my CDs is they're old enough that they're oxidizing. I mean, I have CDs back from, you know, the early 80s, and you know, you look at in the reflection of the light, you just see the white spots, you know, it's oxidizing.
Oh,
so by basically ripping, and then so you rip to a WAV file, the PCM, and then you can get a respectable amount of compression, albeit very little, by using FLAC. And FLAC is an open standard for lossless compression. And you know, so then you have your choice for lossless. There's APE, there's FLAC, and then there's the Apple M4A, you know, at full container size. But I just chose Flack because it's open source. And it looks like Apple's supporting a little bit more of Flack than they have in the past.
I did my whole CD collection with Apple lossless personally.
And with Linux, you can just take an Apple lossless and move it to Flack or Flack to.
I'm not sure why I would want to, but yeah.
Oh no, I mean,
so, I'm just okay. Saying, so quick quiz: we're talking about CDs and old and all that. What was the first album to be released on CD?
That's a great question. That's a really good question. What was the first CD?
Not the first CD, but the first album to be released.
Yeah, yeah. First album released on CD. I don't know.
I actually looked this up a couple of weeks ago. When we were in a meeting. Because we were discussing something like that. And I read it was Billy Joel's 52nd Street.
Ding, 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 ding. Winner, winner, winner.
I would have thought it would have been Three Dog Night. I don't know why, you know, Three Dog Night, I would have thought it would have been them.
Hey, speaking of Billy Joel.
Yeah, I thought that was interesting, too. I was going to mention it, but you guys were in conversation, so I saved that memory.
Good for you. You won the trivia contest. Yeah. The fun fact, the first actual commercially produced compact disc was a 1979 recording of Chopin Waltzes by Claudio Arrau. That was not the first album. The first album was the one that Tina said, Billy Joel's 52nd Street. It reached the market alongside Sony's CD player on October 1st, 1982 in Japan.
Wow.
Because that was Sony, right? He was on CBS. So, and they bought the...
That's why. Sense. Yeah, okay, there you go. Yeah.
The other thing is Billy Joel is now touring with Sting.
They're not touring, but they're doing a few shows. Yeah, yeah. Billy Joel also has other artists opening for him, Stevie Nicks and Chris Isaac are also opening.
I worked that show, and they have one band, and then you know Sting comes up or Billy Joel comes up. They both did a full set. It was 3 hours and 50 minutes on stage before encores.
Oh, wait, one band. So that was one drummer played all
in February? In other words, one background band. Okay, one common band. And then Sting would play his set. He did a full set. And then Billy Joel would do a full set. And then they did a song together. They in totality there was like 62 songs that they played. It was like
definitely
was
getting like your money.
That was at Raymond James, right?
Yeah, right? that was at Raymond James.
And
boy,
yep. It was
David was taking us on the virtual tour.
They had a huge amount of gross. They had a huge amount of gross money on that show. It was like amazing. Amount of money
they made almost as much money as Taylor Swift made for a similar show.
But I tell you what, it was.
I don't know about that.
It was sold out.
That's what I'm saying.
It was sold out, but it was the coldest show ever in Raymond James Stadium. When they went on stage, it was 38 degrees in Florida, and 38 degrees in Florida is like call out the National Guard time. You know,
how did they even play 38 degrees? That's crazy cold.
Well, under the lights, come on, they were sweating.
Wow, really? Weren't they using digital lights?
LED. The most of the lights these days are LEDs, which don't generate any heat. So that's interesting.
They were sweating. Put it that way.
It's a question for you, Greg. Was it the same drummer for Sting and for Billy Joel then?
Yep.
So was it Vinny or was it
Chuck Berge? Chuck Berge.
Chuck Berge is
Jersey boy, Montclair, New Jersey. He played in the. Oh, look, there's Myrna. Hi, Myrna. Wow, how cool.
Hey, Myrna.
So cool. Yeah, we're getting the live video feed from the boat. This is too cool. Yeah.
Oh, cooler than cool. I've never been on a cruise ship. It's really cool to see that.
Oh, wow. Here we are. We're in the main
room. Is that the nightclub or something?
No, this is the main room. Based on
the theater, huh?
Yeah, this is the indoor main room. This is the largest venue.
And they're having a show right now. People are watching the show.
That's more than amazing. I think what I'll do, let's see. Where is David?
Pin his video.
I'm going to unmute him. I'm going to unmute David.
You don't need to open your door. Helps you every time you get in the hall. Yeah, like somebody will go. Oh, yeah.
Here's the guy running the profile right, console.
I'm muting him.
There's the CL5.
That could be dangerous.
Yeah, that is dangerous. I guess there's nobody on the stage yet because they're all, if they are, they're horrible mixers. So I'm sure that that's not the case. There's nobody on the stage. I could see it. Well, that's it. Let me unpin him.
So does anybody on Delta, you know, SkyMiles stuff?
Showtime, I'm out of here. Bye.
Okay. All right. Well, thanks the tour, David.
Have a good show, Dave.
He's gone.
Have a good show. Anyway, that was fun. So, no, what about Delta, Ken?
Well, there was an offer last week from Virgin Atlantic on all the Delta people they have a remote cruising, 1 month cruise, that free Wi-Fi, high-speed Wi-Fi and phone and all the stuff tied into where you basically could remote work and live on a cruise ship for a month.
Wow. And on a Virgin cruise, too.
He muted himself.
Virgin ships are nice.
Well,
yeah. I mean,
once you figure out how to remote mix, and then you can just mix from any ship wherever you are.
Yeah, but you want to be on the ship. If you're going to do that, you might as well be on the ship. You know, that's it. That's all right.
I mean, no, you're on the ship, but wherever the band's playing that night, you log in and you can play, you can mix them for where you're sitting on a ship.
Yeah. Ken, I seem to recall about 3 years ago, Avid was saying, wait until the S6L comes out. You could do that. You know, you can remote mix, you know, from a room and do your stadium show.
Well, that's what Phil Reynolds is working on. COVID. You know, Phil Reynolds, he's working on that big time.
You know, it's never going to be the same. If you can't hear the ambience of the room, I don't care. I mean, you might be able to mix speakers, but you won't, you know, talking heads, but you can't mix a band. You know, I don't believe that's going to ever happen. I mean, maybe with artificial intelligence, you have enough microphones.
I look at it the other way around, to be honest, Jan. I say it's easier to do music remote than to do speakers. Yeah. Speakers are going to be
studio event,
sensitive, you know, sensitive to feedback.
Yeah. But the thing
when
is,
you're doing studio recording, you're not in the room, you're sitting in the control room.
I mean, people in the truck, you know, when you listen to the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, come on, they're mixing live.
Yeah, I guess.
Well, live 50 feet from, or 150 feet from the stage, probably, out in the park.
Yeah, but you got a lot of copper or fiber going there. So it's, you know, I don't know. I mean, it's possible. No, I'm not saying it isn't possible. I know during COVID, a lot of people did that.
Isn't, what's his name? Ken Pooch Van Druten mixing his band from like the back hallway or somewhere because he doesn't want to be in the room. It's too something in the room.
Is he doing people like that? No.
I think that might be the case. I'm not sure.
Mixing services from other locations. I know that. I mean, people have been doing that for a long time, thanks to COVID. I mean, COVID changed everything. You know, Ken Porter, you mentioned Delta. I'm thinking, you know, change the subject a little bit, but man, could you believe the bad luck that United Airlines is having with, you know, I mean, with like 7 different flights, they've had some technical issues, wheels falling off the plane, engines going on fire. I mean, holy hell, man.
Are they all Boeing aircraft?
They are.
It's Boeing that really has the problem.
But they're saying that it wasn't Boeing's fault on the wheel falling off.
Well, they delivered a Dreamliner 787 with the door plug without any fixing, you know, what he called them.
That was a Max 10.
Not a bolt.
Yeah, they didn't have bolts on the door. And then apparently the whistleblower who magically died in a suicide attempt was pointing out lots of other stuff where they were using dish soap as door sealant and lots of other good tidbits. And then he magically just died.
Can't imagine how. I mean, I don't understand how Boeing is still in business and still selling aircraft to major carriers.
That's because.
Well, because their big money is military.
Airbus is having a problem too, and people are covering it up.
Yeah, it's
I can say that again, right, please.
Just says something about people are covering it up.
Yeah, I think that Ken's thesis is that, you know, they don't really want detail about what's going on to escape into the general public.
Well, they've hired a lot of people from QAnon to work for them.
Airbus is having the same problems, a lot of problems too.
They have engine right?
fire problems, but they're hiding that.
I mean, the thing is air travel is still the safest travel you can do.
It's pretty frightening. But if you consider the millions of miles that collectively that these aircraft cover, it's insane.
Oh yeah, if you look at one of those maps that show you all the planes that are in the air at the same time over the United States, it's staggering the amount of planes that are flying, and over the world, it's even more staggering. It's amazing.
Flight Radar 24, it's just absolutely, that's the coolest app. Yeah, fantastic.
I was just going to say that. I was unmuting myself to say that. I have that, and man, if you want to kill 4 or 5 hours, it's great. You can look anywhere in the world, track any plane.
What is it called again? Somebody tell
flight,
me, Chris?
Flight Radar 24. And the numeral
flight radar 24 right out of that myself.
Yeah, Jan, I mean, I can tell, you know, it's great. I go over and I say, oh, well, how busy is Bangkok today? Or I track the Druk Air flight out of Paro into Bangkok. You know, it's great. And it's free. But
well, where I am right now, where I am right now in Hua Hin, they have an international airport. They just widened the runway like a year ago and made international flights, but there's not many flights. And when you pull up to the airport, to get into the airport, there is a guardhouse, and the guard comes out and talks to you. I mean, there's not a lot of traffic at this airport, you know, and the guard comes out, you know, it's like a private airfield where there's a guard there, you know, military guard, but not a lot of planes going overhead here. That's for sure.
Has anybody looked at the website that has all the ships of the world and what they're moving, breaking down between container ships and cruise ships and private and all that stuff like that?
What's that called? Saw that once.
It's pretty crazy. You can set it to only cruise ships, and you can set it there, but it's like intense how they're all in one area, and they pop up and you see who all the different carriers are on it.
I remember seeing that graphic at some point, but yeah, it's all super impressive. But I think we need to forget Ken as a sound man, but rather as a caterer, because every time we got on the meeting, Ken's cooking it up big in the kitchen. So I don't know what he's got.
Well, it's dinner time for him.
Oh, for me too.
It's dinner time, and I appreciate him coming.
Yeah, but I haven't eaten all day, so it's time. Well, I had breakfast. I had fruit for breakfast. I hadn't eaten much, so got to do dinner.
Well, that's good. And I see you walking around a lot. And they say there was a study, just so you know this, there was a study in the Guardian report. We'll throw a link into the chat on this. But they say that only 2,200 steps a day slashes the risk of an early death. So keep walking, baby. Keep walking. Just keep walking.
I was thinking about that steps thing. How is steps? I mean, I guess it's you just have to be active. But don't we want our heart rate to go up for a certain amount of minutes a day or something? And the steps, if the steps are lazy steps, like wa-de-da-de-da, you know, just moseying along. Does that even help anything? Or do you have to be like, you know, on a good pace? What do you know?
Well, I've always heard that a brisk walk is good for you. Brisk is good.
Have you looked at how many steps you do on a show day? Like if you do
a show day, I'm running around a lot, but yeah.
Yeah. I've had as high as like 48,000 in a day.
Holy shit, you're the man.
Wow, 50,000 steps. That's
impressive.
I don't think I've ever gotten that high.
That's an awful lot of steps.
That was on my birthday in Morelia, Mexico in like 17 when I did the Pope down there and walking multi-sites and everything else, moving stuff around.
Wait, in 2017, you had something that kept track of your steps?
Yeah, in the iPhone had the step thing.
Kidding. Wow.
By the way, I heard of an interesting app called StepDog, STEPDOG. And basically, it monitors your steps. And the dog in the it's also a cat too. There's, if you're a cat person, you can get a cat icon as well. And basically, depending on how many steps you take is depending on how the dog, what does his thing, you know, whether he eats or he starves or, you know, he sheds or he doesn't shed. I don't know exactly how it is, but it looks pretty cute. I just haven't played with it yet. And it's free. And if you want to get multiple dogs, then it's 99 cents, I believe, to buy the app, but it's called StepDog, and it goes on your watch, your Apple Watch, so that you can monitor your steps.
Just here you go. This is my heart graphic. This shows the beauty of drumming. This is one year. This is 1 year of consolidated heart data. So my low rate is 40. My high is 207. I'm 61 years old. And so I'm playing 2 to 3 hours a day, heavy drumming. I get up to 207, but you can look at those spots. That's 1 year of data. Got to be drumming.
Well, 207 is way too high.
It is. Actually, I went over and I just had
207 is way too high.
I had my physical with my doctor, and he's like, well, it's your age minus. I can't remember what the hell it is. There's some rule that they come up with. It's like, well, that's kind of a bit high for you. You should be like, you know, 160 should be your max. But I've been doing this for years, and I actually just looked on this other website. So drumming is amazing. It doesn't preserve muscle mass, but in terms of cardio training, there's hardly anything better.
Yeah. Hey, listen, to go back to the Jimmy Buffett, it's called Keep the Party Going at the Hollywood Bowl on the 11th. And it's Paul McCartney, the Eagles, John Bon Jovi, Zac Brown, Jackson Brown, Brandi Carlile, Kenny Chesney. So I guess Scovel will be there for that. And then also they're going to have Eric Church, Sheryl Crow, Scotty Emmerich, Jack Johnson, Carolyn Jones, McAnally, Jake Owen, Pitbull, Jake Cimabuco, the Coral Reefer Band, and more surprise guests.
Well, that's quite impressive.
It's more than one night, right? Is it just a one-day thing, like from 3 o'clock in the afternoon till 10 o'clock at night, something like that?
It's going to be one hell of a show, man.
Jeez.
It's going to be one hell of a show.
Speaking of Eagles, did you hear what the Eagles are doing?
No.
I heard, and I don't know, is this true? I heard that they signed a deal to finish out their final tour at the Sphere.
Yeah, they're playing the Sphere. By the way, did anybody see the thing from Infocom that they're doing a visit night at the Sphere on Tuesday night prior to Infocom.
Oh, no shit.
For the event.
Wow, I want to see that. Do you know what the date of that is? I don't even know what the date of Infocom
is. June 12th. It's a Tuesday.
Figures, we're going to be in England.
And what, is it free entry to the Sphere?
It sounds like it.
I think so. I was going to work on that. I hadn't had time to go hunt it. Mm-hmm.
Eagles at the Sphere, wow. Though. I mean, talk about lots of open mics. I mean, that's a big band. And then they got Fish. They got who else? They have going in there.
I think the Grateful Dead, right? Isn't the Grateful Dead going in?
All right. The what's it called now? It's called the what's Dead and Friends or something.
Dead and Company.
Dead and Company. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Well,
Dead anyway. Friends.
I look forward to hearing how they do in that acoustic environment because it's such a unique acoustic environment.
Yeah, it is.
Meanwhile, you just mentioned dogs, and I got dogs to feed, so I got to get going.
Well, that's a great way to go offline. We got dogs to feed here. I should have changed that. I mean, instead of, hey, no, I didn't know that, but if you hum a few bars of it, I can figure it out, you know? But that's the name of the show. So what do you have it? There you have it. Listen, 200 times to meet with you guys has been amazing. Thank you so much for joining my madness. I appreciate it a great deal. We've had a good time here.
Hey, thanks for having it, Jan. Wednesday. Come on, remember during COVID when we had nothing else to do?
Yeah. Well, that's the problem is now we got more things great. To do. Yeah.
But that was great times, of you to start.
We've got 500 viewers. You know, it's pretty impressive to say the least. And it's my avocation, not my vocation. There were so many things I wanted to talk about. But of course, once I say whatever room wants to talk about that, that's where we go and we have really gone way above and beyond anything I
expected. We were on a cruise ship
with David. That was great. That was phenomenal. That was absolutely phenomenal. So remember, everything heard today is an opinion, so do your own research. If you're on the show, you know, click the thumbs up or share the show on your link as well. That's always helpful. I know what I wanted to ask you guys. Have you gotten the summary, the artificial intelligence summary that I've been sending out? Do you think that? What do you think of that?
Oh, it's insanely accurate.
Yeah, it is. It's pretty amazing. You know,
I think it's on the humorous side to read it because of the way that it refers to the people's just the names and what they said. It's funny, especially if you weren't there and you read that. You go, I wonder what they really talked about.
Yeah. I mean, I love the way they summarize it. The summary is great. I usually post that on the show notes that goes. But no, in other words, because it's the name that you have. So now when you read it back this week, I forgot to take sound broker Jan Landy off of my name. So now whenever I say anything, it's going to say, well, sound broker Jan Landy said, or Ken Newman or Christopher C., Ken Porter with a small K, and that I'm not changing anymore. I don't care. You know,
Jan, it's great.
But anyway, thanks.
Jan, you are
remember what
legally responsible for everything. It's all on you, bud.
Well, come and get me. Here I am.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
come and go. Come on over here. The land.
Right, well, I'm legally responsible to feed my animals, so it's been nice talking to you.
Bye, Ken.
All right. Hey, remember, you make it happen. So have a great week and we'll see you again next week. And thanks for watching. So take care. Bye, everybody. We're going to stay in the room, by the way, and keep chit-chatting. And so if you really want to see what's going on, you know, send me a DM or send an email and we'll send you a link to the panel. Until then, 73-62 and even. You make it happen. And we are off the air.
Congratulations, Jan. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, I can't believe it myself.